This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
People also met him, for they that heard he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida and of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip cometh unto and telleth Andrew, and Andrew again, and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered him, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto the life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
Back out east, there's a lot more people where I grew up, and that changes the way you interact and you operate. I remember growing up, whenever my mom would take us to the local supermarket, when we approached the deli counter, we often had to walk up to the counter, and there was a red dispenser of tickets, and you would walk up and you would take a ticket, and you'd have to look at the number on your ticket, and you'd have to look at the counter, the clock, whatever that keeps track of the numbers up on the screen, and you'd have to wait your turn. When I moved to Wisconsin, one of the things that surprised me is that you'd go into the supermarket and you'd walk up to the deli and you'd go like this. Not sure what to do because you don't have a number. How are they going to know to help you? And then the person would walk up to the edge of the counter and look at you straight in the face and say, "Can I help you, sir?" And you go, "Me?" Quite an experience. Now, I moved here in 2016, so there's been quite a few years that has happened in between. Well, when my dad passed away this last November, Alicia and I had to go back out east to facilitate services. And when we were there, we decided that we would go to the supermarket to get a few things and pick up our lunch. And we decided to go to a place called Dave's Market. Now, Dave's Market is one of the best supermarkets in the world. I'm not biased or anything. And you go there, and it's just the way they decorated the layout. You get freshly cooked this and that, and it's just, it's wonderful. And so we're spending time there, and we decide we're going to get, they have at the counter, like, freshly made, stromboli and all different things that are, you could just pick up, and at the entrance is a whole row of booths that you can sit down and eat your lunch. And so it's kind of like a restaurant supermarket hybrid. And I went up to the deli counter. There's people everywhere. It's just everywhere there's people. And I walked up to the deli counter, and I kid you not, I did this. I walked up to the person who is farthest from the counter, and I looked at them and I said, "Excuse me, is this where the line ends or begins? You know, is this where the line, where I'm supposed to come in for line?" And she looked at me and she said, "Why don't you take a ticket?" And I went, "Oh, the ticket! I forgot!" And so I had to go over to the machine. I was like, "Beautiful machine, I almost kissed it." And I took that, and I took that number, and I looked at that, my number. I have my number. I know exactly when I'm going to be called. I actually ended up taking 3 by accident. But I was so excited for the number. And I got to thinking about our lives. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if at some point in your life with walking with the Lord, God gave you a number. And he said, "This number, you know when you're going to get married. This number tells you when you're going to, you know, have that career. This number tells you when you're going to buy a house. This number tells you, you know, when your grandkids are going to come and visit you next, because you haven't heard from them in a while. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord gave us a number so that we knew when it was our time?" It would be, but unfortunately, he doesn't. He doesn't give us a number. We don't know when these things will happen. We don't know when our time is to be married, if we are to be married. We don't know when our time is to find that career that we are to spend our lives working at. We don't know when it is time for us to buy that house and where and when, and all these things we're not sure of. But as we read the triumphal entry, this is something that stood out to me for the first time ever. Jesus knew his time. And Jesus holds your ticket. The question is, will you hold his hand? Even if you can't have that ticket given to you directly, can you entrust your life into the one who has it? Because if you and I do, everything will fall into line as we trust him. Not because we have the number and we can look, "Oh, yep, 3 years from now it's going to happen." But we're following the Good Shepherd who gives us his voice commands, and we know that he's leading us to where we need to be. Jesus is always aware of his timing, and that comes out in this passage if you want to follow along. Jesus he miraculously let out a command that a dead man who had been dead for 4 days would come out of the grave. Who was his name? Lazarus. You remember this in the book of John. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Lazarus died. Jesus knew he was sick. He could have gone and healed him, but he didn't. He wanted to do something greater. And so he went after the man was dead, after he had been laid in a tomb, after he stanketh, and stood before the opening of the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And this dead man became a walking man alive. And people were amazed at this sign. In chapter 11, verse 45, the Bible says, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him." And it goes on to say in chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover, so this is very soon before Jesus is crucified, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, where he was. Verse 2, "There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him." And eventually, she anoints Jesus, preparing him for his burial. Verse 9, "Now a great many of the Jews knew he was there, And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus. What Jesus did with Lazarus was a big deal. The people thought, if this man can raise a man from the dead, I want to know about him. I want to know more about him. I want to follow him. And so, verse 10, the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also because on account of him, that is Lazarus, and what Jesus did, many of the Jews went away and believed in him. Now, something I had never noticed before was that this amazement that the Jews had was one of the driving forces behind why they were celebrating his triumphal entry. Typically, we approach the triumphal entry where, you know, it's festival time, people are in a good mood, Jesus comes, and they're happy and they're waving palm branches. But there's a specific thing going on here. In verse 12, the next day, a great multitude had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and they cried out, Hosanna, which means save now. Hosanna. And at this time, it is likely just a word of praise and a prayer to God for his salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They're calling Jesus a king, and he is on a young donkey fulfilling scripture, but the disciples did not understand. But afterwards they would. Now look at verse 17. Therefore the people, these are the people who are praising Jesus, waving palm branches. The people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The reason why a lot of people, not all, there were some there who just got caught into the celebration, but the reason why a lot of people were waving palm branches, calling out Hosanna, was because they heard or they saw themselves that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And it amazed them. And it showed them, this guy is likely our king. Who else could it be? And so they started trusting in him and following him and praising him. And so, not only the Jews, but at verse 20, look at this. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. You have to picture in your mind just hundreds of thousands of people, if not over a million people, gathered together for this festival. And it pulled in Jews from all over, but it also pulled in non-Jews, Greeks, the Bible calls them on occasion. There were some who were curious about the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, Yahweh. They were God-fearers in the midst who were not Jewish by birth, but they wanted to follow this one true God. And so they were in the court of the Gentiles that the temple allowed them to intermingle with other Gentiles. But only the bloodline Jewish people could enter in further to partake of the festivities and the sacrifices. And so there were these Greeks who they're curious. They're wondering what's going on. They come up to Philip in verse 21 and they say, we wish to see Jesus. So Philip came and told Andrew. Why these men? Well, they have Greek-based names. So maybe they thought there was a bridge between them and Jesus. They come up to Jesus. Now imagine you're there. So say you're Philip. Say you're Andrew. Say you're one of the Greeks. You want to know more about Christ. All this singing and praise and festivities. You walk up to Jesus. You say, I'd like to know more about you. And Jesus looks at you and he says the following. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour has come. You may not know what that means, but you know one thing. Jesus had a ticket with a number, and it now matched the screen. The hour had come. He knew every day of his ministry that there would be a day, there would be a time in which it would be the moment for him to be glorified in obedience to the Father when he would come to Jerusalem be betrayed, be crucified on a cross for our sins, be buried in the tomb, and then 3 days later rise from the dead. He knew that that hour, that bracket of time, would come, and it began now. And as you read on, it continues through. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. You see, he was in the time period. He was right on time. It was a triumphal timing. And knowing that Jesus was on time will help you as you follow him, so that your life can line up with his timing for you, so that my life can line up with his timing for you. I'd like to share something with you here. If you listen to me, to God's word, don't listen to me. Listen to God's word for a moment. I want to share this with you. Jesus never went ahead of the Father's timing. He never cut in line. He never stepped ahead. He was always in line with the Father's timing. Turn back, if you will, to John chapter 2. And look at what is going on here as somebody is encouraging him to step out of line. Verse 1, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." That was a hint. I know who you are. You know who you are. Make a public display now. Get everybody to follow you. What did he say to her? He said to her, "Woman." And in that time, it was not an insult. It was an endearing word to his mother. "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." You see what Jesus is saying? I'm not going to step ahead of God's timing, of the Father's timing. I'm not going to do it. And all through his public ministry, Jesus laid low. There were periods of time when he would make miracles happen and made public displays, but by and large, it was a subtle, under-the-radar moment until his hour came. He said, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." You see, if we're going to follow the one who has our ticket, we're going to experience the same thing. You and I are going to experience people who try to take us and get us ahead of God's timing. Sometimes people are going to have, in their minds and in their experiences, a better idea of what you should do than what you believe the Father is leading you to do. And you and I, if we're going to follow Jesus, need to learn to wait on him. Now, sometimes God will bring someone to encourage us to follow him. We'll talk about that. But sometimes people encourage us to do things and step ahead when God wants us to wait on him. Sometimes people are thinking logically and, you know, you're at this point, you're at this stage, you're having this struggle, you're having this difficulty. Well, you need to do this. And as you pray about it, God is leading you, wait. Don't. Why? Because your hour has not yet come. This was recently reminded to me when we considered as a church and talked about, if you remember back in January, they brought up the announcement of a possible youth ministry called Trail Life. And I was just really on board with this, really excited about this. I think this is the moment where we can have this opportunity of reaching out to the community and bringing in a structure where fathers and sons and daughters and mothers and kids can hear about Christ and have this life application format and stuff. And I was just gung-ho. We had an informational meeting downstairs. Had slides that I created. Posted a sign-up sheet. Invited everybody to seek the Lord about it. And When the day came for those who signed up to meet, I got here, I got my stuff prepared and ready, and I stood there and I looked in the pews and I said, oh boy. And I didn't say, oh boy, because I didn't like, you know, who signed up or whatever. I just saw that sitting in the pews were folks who already serve in this church in a large capacity and give a lot of their time to leading Bible studies and leading this ministry and that ministry and are doing this and that. And I walked away from that meeting and I said, Lord, I know that I had thought at this gathering there would be different faces, but it didn't happen. And I was bummed out about it. And then God shared with me the truth that sometimes the hour is not yet. And it may be the case that, I don't know, but it may be the case that it's not the time. Because I feel as a pastor absolutely hesitant to asking a once a week dedication to the folks that are already giving throughout the week their time and resources and such to leading ministry. I just don't want folks to get burned out. It's not the time. The hour is not yet come. Maybe in the future. Put it on the back burner, Lord, I guess. And now, I was sharing this at the elders' meeting, you know, at first I was pretty upset, but right now I feel at peace about this. Because in God's timing, we're on the right path, amen? What better place to be than in God's timing? That's where we want as a church to be. Imagine if I said, no, we're going to do it anyway, and just unload all these monthly, weekly responsibilities. It would have been an unhealthy situation. And so God's timing has to be followed. Jesus will give us a moment when we know, he says, the hour has come. Sometimes God wants you to wait more on him for his leading and his provision. There's another obstacle that we face as believers in following Christ, because if you turn to John chapter 7, you see another experience where there was an interruption to God's timeline. In John chapter 7, look at verse 25. So Jesus is interacting with the Jews. It's during the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus' brothers had already told him, you need to go out there. You need to make a public display. And he said, no, I'm not at that point yet. He goes secretly later. So they were of the same mindset of his mother, who thought he should get out there in the open right away. He goes there eventually. He's talking. He's telling people about the Lord. In verse 25, he's telling people about the Father and his relationship to the Father. In verse 25, now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me. And you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, and I am from him, and he sent me. Verse 30, therefore they sought to take him. So they rushed at him, they extended their arms, they were going to grab him, and they were going to harm him. But look, no one laid a hand on him, because why? His hour had not yet come. It was on God's timetable. So, on the negative side, sometimes people can try to get us off of God's timetable. We need to say no sometimes and trust him. But there's a positive side to this, that there are going to be people who are going to try to harm you and prevent you from following the Lord's timing and things. And if you trust him, you know you're right on time. If you trust him, they can't touch you outside of God's hand over the situation because you're resting in him, you're trusting him, so they can't touch you. Sure, they can hurt you and harm you, but they cannot get outside of God's control, like Satan could not get outside of God's control in the interaction with Job. As you and I trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we can rest in his timing and knowing that the experiences we go through, he is using in his timetable. The same thing happens in John chapter 8. Verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, saying, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. And then he goes on to show how he can bear witness. In verse 20, these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. There is such a peace and joy knowing as you trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. As you do that, there's a sense in which it's all in God's time. It's all in God's will for your life to use every experience for your good, to work all things together for good for those you who love him. It releases you. It gives you a sense of freedom. Even though it's difficult, you have a sense of freedom because you say, wait a minute, I am following Jesus by faith. Therefore, I am on his timetable. I am on his path. I can trust him through this experience. It did not surprise God. It's a sense of, you know, they had that that man called Stonewall Jackson, if you remember, in the Civil War, he would be called Stonewall Jackson because he had faith like a stone wall, they would say. And he would sometimes be standing up there while the bullets were flying by, and he would be standing firm, and people would ask him, why aren't you afraid? And he would say, I trust that God, when it's my time, God will have a bullet for me or he won't. Now, I understand you can't just be foolish and jump off of buildings expecting his angels to keep your foot from dashing against a stone. You need to make wise decisions, but you need to make wise decisions. And having wise decisions means that you walk in the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. So if you're making willy-nilly decisions based on human reasoning, it's going to be very difficult to be in God's plan, God's timing, God's path for you. But if you seek him, ask him for guidance, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of the Lord and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him. What will he do? He shall direct your paths. Amen. So first off, Jesus never went ahead of the Father's timing. Secondly, Jesus never let anyone prevent him from the Father's timing. And finally, Jesus is always lined up with the Father's timing. In the triumphal entry, this is amazing. Did you know that about 500 years ago, or more than that, a prophecy was given through the hand of Daniel that at the writing of a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, there would be a set period of time. We know it as the 70 weeks. There would be a set period of time, 493 years. We went through the book of Daniel. We looked at this. It was amazing. From the declaration of that time to the end of that time, Messiah will appear. We know in history that Artaxerxes in 444 BC made a decree. And we looked at this. There's differences of opinion, but when you use Hebrew calendar counting from that time, do you know where you land? Right around the time of the triumphal entry. There's debate, it could be the baptism of Jesus, but the idea here is Jesus, he's looking and he's saying, the hour has come. It's all in God's timing. Everything from his death, his burial, his resurrection, it was all in God's perfect timing. Is your life in the hands of him who has the ticket? I want us this Easter, because a lot of people this week will look at their own lives in a very self-reflective way. I'd like to ask you, do you believe that your life is aligned with God's timing, with God's will? Have you been nurturing this relationship with the Good Shepherd so that you know you're at a comfortable place to know, you know what? I am where God wants me. And I have peace about that now, given my situation. You know, when you're a baby, you care about yourself. And that's okay. God made it that way. As you get older, you care about mama or yourself. As you get older, you care about mom and daddy. You care about brother and sister. As you get older, you care about aunts and uncles and cousins, and you care about other people. And as you get older, you realize that the sphere of people, it's not so much you, it's them, and it's not so much them. And finally, you learn eventually there's God, and you realize as you get older, the bigger picture. It's the same thing where your life ambition, as you get older, you realize, wait a minute, I'm not going to live forever. When I was 16, 17, I thought, this is it. We're going to be riding on high through life. And then you hit 20 and you're like, it's okay. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. And you're just going through life. And now you wake up and you're turning 35 April 10th. And at some point over the years, you realize, wait a minute, there's a set period of numbers for my days. And it may be soon, but it, you know, if what's going to happen in between them? And so you start asking, Lord, get me on track. And I want everybody here, whether you're young, whether you're old, to take time this week and sit down with a Bible, with a notebook, if you can, in God's creation. The weather's a lot better now. And say, God, you've got my ticket. You know the number of my days. I want to follow you now. I want to be aligned with your timing for me. So help me, Lord. Amen? Imagine what release and peace that will bring into your life. As you follow him, where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do on his timetable. Jesus has triumphant timing. He's got your ticket. Will you take his hand? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray as we consider your perfect will for us. I pray, Father, that you would please humble us, because we sometimes are so self-sufficient and we've got all our ideas and we've got all our reasonings. Humble us, Father. For you are the one who you say to us, come, follow me. And I wish, Father, I could see that number. I wish I could see. But you tell us to walk by faith and not by sight. So, Lord, I pray that this church here would commit ourselves as individuals into your hands afresh, lining our lives up with you afresh, and walking the joyful walk of a sheep following the Good Shepherd. We love you, Lord, in heaven. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, who died for our sins, that if we but believe in you, we will have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.